soon as Pastor can get everything together, we're going to go ahead and get started. We were dealing with Abraham, okay? And with Abraham, we were dealing with the second challenge. We dealt with the first challenge of Abraham. Now we're going to deal with the second challenge of Abraham. All right? So the first one was, Abraham, I want you to get up and go. All right? The second one is that there was a famine in the land. So this is his second challenge. Immediately after his arrival in the promised land, he encounters a famine. Now, I won't lie to you. God has gotten this man up, told him to leave his father's homeland and take his family and go, and he's going to give him a promised land. He's going to make his descendants as many as the stars in the sky and the whole nine yards. He gets to the promised land, and there's a famine. Now, some of y'all may not understand famine, but that means either a drought or the government has taken over the food industry, whatever it might be, but the food is missing. Your basic needs every day are missing. You don't have it, and there's no way of getting it anytime soon. So you done brought me to the promised land, Lord, but now there's a famine. Now I'm hungry. Now, I know some of us, we would have complained, probably me, but let's go to Genesis, the 12th chapter, verses 10 through 13 to check this out, because I need you to know that there is an issue with us when it comes down to, you made a promise to me, Lord, but now there's a problem with the promise. There's a problem with the promise. I need you to hear me on this. There's a problem with the promise. All right? So Genesis 12, 10 through 13. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. All right? The famine was severe. And that's just the fact. That's just what it is. The famine was severe, and so he went down there to live for a while, okay? Went down to Egypt. Now, here's the questions that you should have, okay? Or here's the questions that I would have if I was Abe. You know, I'd be thinking to myself, man, okay, this ain't right. But here's the questions that I have, okay? Number one, God, what are your intentions towards me? That's number one. God, there's a problem with the promise. So the first thing that I'm asking, and I don't know about you because I know you're all saved, but what in the world would you have me come over here for after promising me all this, after getting me hyped up, after making me feel everything's going to be all right, and then there's a famine. So number one is, God, what are your intentions towards me? You know, I want to know. I mean, what you trying to do with it? Because obviously, this ain't part of my plan. It might be part of your plan, but it ain't part of my plan. So I'm a little concerned. So I looked at Jeremiah 29:11, and this is what God says in Jeremiah 29:11. Some of you know it well. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Now, I thought about that thing, right? Because I don't know if I can see hope in a future. Wow, I'm sitting here in the middle of a famine. Look, I done traveled. I did everything you told me to do, Lord, and now you're saying that you have plans to give me hope in a future. Now, faith is the substance of things hope for. So if I hope on these things, then that's cool. But you want to give me a future, which means I can't see that neither. I don't know about you, but I've never eaten hope or a future. I've never eaten hope or future. I promise you, you can put salt on it, ketchup, you can put anything, mustard, mayo, whatever it might be, but hope and a future. I have hoped to eat, and I've hoped that in the future I could eat, but it was never substance. I could not touch it. I wanted to eat it. I have a famine, and there's a problem, Lord, with your promise. Because now, not only is the food missing, but you give me two more things, hope in the future, that are non-existent in my mind. You know why? Because my stomach has taken over my mind. My stomach actually is taking over my body. Because what I do now is, I promise you, if they don't eat, somebody gonna eat. Oh, now Ziggy got to get his. Ain't no two ways about it. I got to get mine if I got to jack somebody up to get it. Now, just to give you a little something about food, in my house as I was growing up, food was not really, it wasn't accessible as some of y'all's houses. We subsisted off about, I'd say about $500 a month in food, right? Because my mother was on welfare. Now, you got five kids, all right? And we grew pretty quickly. All right, so you got five kids in that house, and you got $500. That's $100 per kid. Now, I will tell you this. My mother used to tell us, okay, it's time to eat after she fixed her plate, and then she'd run in her room and close the door, because then here come the horses. We would come down the steps, and we'd get that food, and we'd fight over it. And then if you were sitting at the table, and you turned your head to look at something, you might be missing your pork chop when you turn back around. Well, then, now I got to cut you. Now I got to cut you because you took my food off my plate. That's how it was in my house. And not just one day, every day. Oh, every day until the food ran out. So I understand being hungry. I understand hoping and waiting on the end of the month. I understand that. I get it 100%. So we're dealing with the fact that now there's hope and a future. Well, thank you, God, for giving me some words of encouragement. But guess what? I need a little bit more than hope right now. I need that eagle to get in my pocket. I need some Mean Green. I need some cash. You can put it on a Visa card. I don't mind. So here we go. Number two, God, why have you disrupted my life? Why? I didn't do nothing to you. I didn't do nothing to nobody. You disrupted my life. What is your major malfunction, God? Now, I thought things were supposed to go different. And now here I am back in the same situation that I was in before. And I don't even know what to do about this. What am I supposed to do about this? I mean, why? First I ask, what are your intentions towards me? You give me this right here, that you're trying to give me a hope in the future and not harm me. You want me to prosper, okay? You got plans for me, but then you disrupt my life. I was doing some things. The Lord knows I was, I was getting it in. And I want you to know that I'm a little upset. I'm a little upset because things ain't going like I wanted them to. So why have you disrupted my life? I know there's somebody up there beside me that wants to know the answer to that question. Why have you, Lord, disrupted my life? You was the one I was counting on. I can understand if she disrupted my life. I can understand if he disrupted my life. I can understand if even they disrupted my life. But you, you're the one I come to when my life is disrupted. Why would you do such a thing to me, Lord? Why would you do such a thing to me? I was comfortable. I was comfortable. There was a table and I had comfort with it. Food on it. What is your problem, Lord? And I asked those questions. See, some of y'all talk God like I talk to them. Some of y'all talk God like I talk to them. I'll be like this. What? What part of the game is this? I missed that. I must have been asleep when this game came about on it. Because I don't know what happened. Everything was smooth, and then it went off the rails. So why, God, have you disrupted my life? I haven't done anything to you. Let's go with Acts 10, 32 through 35 and find out some things. Okay? Now, this is when the church first got started. So why, God, have you disrupted my life? Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good for you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. Lord have mercy. Let's go on back to that one good time. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism.
I ain't gonna lie to you. That really hit a brother when I wrote that down. I was mad at myself because I ain't gonna lie to you. Sometimes I feel like a favorite. And I feel like a favorite because things just keep happening good for me. You know, when stuff happens good for you, you start to feel like a favorite. You start to feel like you're here. My God, love me, man. Huh? He gonna take care of me, brother. What I got to worry about? Everything's good. Like nothing bad is gonna happen in your life. Nothing. Well, your life will not be disrupted. You won't have to ask, Lord, what are your intentions towards me? Because you have predicted the future for yourself. Matter of fact, if I ask you right now what your plans are, I bet you can run them down for me. I bet you could. Well, once this is over, that's what I keep hearing. Once this is over, here's what I plan to do. And you know what God is saying? Whoa! That's what you're going to do? Come on, tell me some more. Tell me some more. That's what you're going to do? Yeah, yeah. I got a feeling in the inner reaches of my feeling that you don't know what you're talking about. And you probably need to shut up and use these words. If it is God's will, if it is God's will, we shall do this or that. Why? Because God does not show favoritism. You ain't getting away with it. It's not going to be you and not me. It rains on the justice as well as the unjust. So the anger you might have about your connected present means that you are disconnected from God's hope and future. I get mad too, but guess what? I'm not disconnected from the hope in the future. As a matter of fact, I do right now what I'm supposed to do. I used to rush. You know, my wife could tell you I used to rush. So here's how I used to do it. And here was one of my main rushing points. What I would do is, and I don't know why, maybe it's just I was born into it. But what I would do is, I would see somebody, this sounds pretty bad. But I would see somebody getting out their car, going into the store. And I don't know why. There was plenty of food in there, but she used to be with me. And what I do is when I see them, I'd be like, you know, I don't know, I'll pick up a little bit of run with me. Because I'm like, you know, I don't know why. But it felt like if I don't get in that store before you do, then the last cart is going to be gone. Or the last bit of that cereal going to be gone. Or something going to be gone. You here to get the same thing I'm getting. Something is up. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't want everything to be gone. I don't know what it was, but something in me like, hurry up, man. You don't know. Hurry up. I live my life in hurry up, y'all. I live my life in hurry up. My mama used to say, hurry up and get dressed. You going to church. And if I laid there too long, she'd throw my clothes on the porch and I'd have to get dressed on the porch. All right? You stand a young man out there with his drawers on trying to put clothes on that was wrinkled because you ain't had time to iron it. Because what she would do is she'd lock the door and then she'd make you get dressed on the porch. And you couldn't get back in the house. All right? But then I left there and I went to the military. And they were like, hurry up and eat. And you better hurry up and eat. And I used to be like, I'm thinking I'm hungry. And they used to say, taste it on the way down. We can't talk about you being hungry. All right? And then I went from there to the fire department. And it was hurry up and eat. Hurry up and get here. Hurry up and get there. Hurry up. So then I got to blame it on all those things that I can't help it. I had to rush. That's just me. I just had to rush. And I thought that if I didn't rush, things wouldn't go well. But when you look at it here, God says, whether you rush or not, I don't have no favorites. I don't have no favorites. I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we're all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. That's why we're here. That's why we're a church. We're here to get God's instruction and then move. Get God's instructions and then move. There's some of us who are still looking at that empty table thinking that all of a sudden it's going to get full. When God has moved on to another table, he is trying to prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. But you still looking at a table that's more, it's comfortable. Well, there ain't none of my enemies around here, so I can eat with my back turned. I can eat with my head down. I ain't got to worry about eating any other kind of way. I can just eat right here because my enemies ain't around. God said, listen, if you're going to grow, then you must go, Abraham. Abraham, you must go, and then you must grow. I got to start the pain right now because you've been comfortable, eh? You've been in your family's crib. Everything's been provided. You ain't had no issues. Now it's time to have issues because that will bring about the real faith. Huh? That brings about faith. Will God? Can God? What is his intentions? Because he wants you to know he's ready for you. How many of you are ready for him? That's the question. Are you ready for him? Because he's ready for you. He's been ready for you. Some of us are looking at this time right now in our lives and going, well, wow. Well, I heard a preacher say this morning, this time didn't surprise God. None of this surprised God. It wasn't like, whoa, look at that there. What's going on down there with them? Wow. God knew. And he still has plans for our hope and our future. Still to this day. Because he's saying, I want you. I want you. So let's move on here. We got, that was Acts 10, 32 through 35. Right? The 35 was, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. God accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. And that be the question. Are you doing what's right? Do you fear him? And not in the sense that, oh my God, if I don't act right, God, don't take something from me. Can I tell you something? If you do act right, God won't take something from you. What makes us think that special people like us don't have anything taken from us? You can act right or wrong. You're going to get something taken from you. If you don't, if you're messing around, it don't matter. Live long enough. Something's going to be taken. So what can't be taken is you doing right. You have to give that up. You have to give that up. You got to give up righteous living. You got to let that go. You can't just say, well, somebody took it from me. How? Well, see, here. So what had happened was this. When I was up, and it don't add up. You can't give it. If you give away righteous living and you give away fear of God, trust me, you just stepped off into a woo-woo tornado. You in a woo-woo tornado, that's for sure. And all you're going to do is go around and woo, woo, woo. You ain't even going to see nothing. You got to give God what is his. And you got to be able to do what he's asking you to do. To fear him by respect. Respecting the fact that whatever he's done in your life, it must be for good purpose. You have to respect his sovereign judgment over your life. If you don't respect his sovereign judgment over your life, then you're none of his. You're none of his. You might as well kick it on over to the other side. Be who you're going to be. But if I respect God's sovereign judgment, then I have to take into consideration that he is my God and I belong to him and I'm waiting on his hope and his future. That's what I'm waiting on. So let's get into this next one right here. All right. We deal with the third question is, okay, God, how do I know you're capable of acting on your intentions? Number one is, what are your intentions for me? Number two will be, how are we dealing with all of the processes that, I'm good, thank you. How are we dealing with all the processes of what God is trying to put in us? Okay, and number three is, how do I know you are capable of acting on your intentions? How do I know, God? Because you know what? Can I tell you something? Here's the sad part about it for us people. And I ain't gonna lie to you. I will not lie to you. I'm gonna keep it 100 with you. In the process of acting on his intentions, God has shown us something. He has. He showed us something. And him showing us something has let us know that he can. Now, if God can, then I wonder why we are still wondering why. Okay. Let me say it like this. I'm just going to put it like this. If God's ever done anything for you, all you have to do is sit back and ask yourself, what has God done for me? See, the questions like this is, okay, God, you've answered the other ones. Now, how do I know you're capable of acting on your intentions for me? To give me a hope and a future? To make me prosper? See, we also talk about prosper as in, oh, yeah, I can think of some things I won't need. I believe this. Prosper in wisdom. Prosper in wisdom. If you don't ask God for anything else, we talk about James, the first chapter. If any man or woman lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who will give to him in superabundance. Now, don't be asking for stuff that's going to rust away, that you're going to live longer than the car. You're going to live longer than the house. You're going to live longer than anything any other. You know, I look at people that's 100 years old now, and they sit back looking for friends. You know why? Because everybody else is gone. I did the right thing by my mother and my father. I did the right thing. Well, now I don't even know what I want to do because I don't have anybody. I'm like that old man this week, the one colonel who walked around his garden so many times he raised a few hundred thousand dollars or something. Man, since I'm still here, I might as well do something for somebody else. Man, y'all don't want to hear this. You don't want to hear this because this is that selflessness that I'm talking about. You don't want to hear this. You think that doing something for somebody else means that, okay, now you owe me. And God said, you owe me. So look, you give me mine and they'll give you theirs. And see, and here's the crazy thing about it. You can't beat what God gave us. He gave us his only begotten son. And so if he did that, you probably need to quit asking this person for theirs. Huh? You worried about what somebody taking from you. God said, man, it's all mine anyway. So I said, okay, God, how do I know you're capable on acting on your intentions? I really want some scripture. So he took me to Joshua, the 24th chapter, verses 2 through 3. 2 through 3, Joshua 24, 2 through 3. And he says, Joshua said to all the people, this is what the Lord God, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. Remember I told you that Abraham's parents Roots worshiped the moon god. His name used to just be Abram, A-B-R-A-M. His parents named him, right? And they used to worship the moon gods, where he grew up at, where he lived at. That's why God had to separate him. I want you. I'm going to tell you in a minute about that separation. It was really deep. But they worshiped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac. Now look. Here's the problem. Because this story just jumped to, hey, I gave him many descendants. See, thank God for reading the Bible. Because if you don't read the Bible, you wouldn't know that between he led him through Canaan and gave him many, many descendants right here, all in that area right there, there was a famine. And then there were eight other challenges. All this happened. See, that's the reason why on your grave, on your headstone, they put a from date and they put that little dash and they put the to date. Because that dash is everything that happened. Here's the thing. God is the Alpha, which he's the A, and the Omega, all the way at the end, the Z. He's the last. The first and the last. The problem is everything between the B and the Y. How do I be and why? What am I going to be and why? See, if you get that in the alphabet, we just talking about the alphabet, 26 letters. And it ain't L-M-N-O-P, it's L-M-N-O, all right? There's all that. See, we try to rush through even the alphabet. And God is saying, stop that rushing. Stop picking up your little stride to try to get somewhere. Hold up. I'm telling you now, this is the craziest thing to me in the world. I'm learning patience. It messes me up. I don't know so much about patience, but I'm learning to say, no, not right now. It happened to me over the last 2 weeks. I wanted to go get something. And I had my eyes on it. I was like, man, I'm going to go get that. Yup, that's just what I'm going to go get. And all of a sudden, it was like, probably don't need it. Yeah, probably don't need it. And the money was burning a hole in my pocket. Telling you, I got the burn marks to prove it. Third degree, y'all. And I'm sitting down, I'm like, I just died. And I went past the stove out. I went past there so much, I stopped going by there. I just decided to take another way around. Because I said, if I go by there one more time, I'm going to go in there. And thank God, I don't care what you say, thank God for some of this mess going on with coronavirus. Because it wouldn't let you just walk in the store. If I had freedom, I'd go in that bad boy, pick it up, and keep moving. But here, you had to sit in a line, and you had to wait for somebody to bring it out. I don't want to do all that. So God said, well, do you really want it? No, I don't. And God said, then stop, and it'll be all right. I said, cool. I've been learning to get along without it. I ain't going to say what it is because my wife is watching. And, you know, I like her, and I even love her. So I don't want no arguments on the way home, so or even when I get home. So I'm going to just leave it like that. You feel me? All right. So he said, I gave him Isaac, huh? And when we look at this process, we go to Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. Okay? How do I know, Lord, that you're going to be good on your intentions towards me? Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. Each one of these people of faith died, not yet having in hand what was promised. Huh? But still believing. Oh, there it is. Each one of them died, not yet having in hand what was promised. I got to tell y'all something. Just off that right there. Can I just hold, put a pin in that right there? Let me explain something to you. Your future is not yet fully written. Not by you. God already knows what your future is going to be. He already knows. But you don't know. Because what would you do if you knew? Yeah, you run on a rush on over there too, wouldn't you? Yeah. Mess it up because it ain't ready for you yet. Your future's not ready for you yet, or you're not ready for your future. If I knew everything God was going to do for me, I would have been over there. I would have went over there and sat down like they was giving away new iPhones. I'd have been right there, camped out for 9 or 10 days, waiting. But I'm telling you right now, God said they died. But they were people of faith, meaning they lived like the promise was real. They lived their lives like the promise was real. They didn't fall off and say, well, yeah, still ain't got there. Still ain't came. It still ain't happened. So I'm guessing I'm going to go drinking again. Well, still ain't happened. Still ain't came. Fire up the spliff, man. Fire it up. Because I'm done with church and I'm done with Jesus because it didn't happen. It didn't happen like they said it was. Well, I'm done. I'm done trying to find a woman who's going to care for me. I'm done trying to find a man who loves me. I'm done. I'm just going to take this idiot and do what I got to do and dress him up. I'm going to get this toad and try to dress him up and make him a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I'm just going to deal with the challenges. That's what I'm going to do. But I ain't talking to God, and I ain't going to church, and I ain't going to give my life to him. Because I didn't get what I wanted. Come on now. Come on. I know about living a life of faith, and I know about living a life of fake. Yeah, there's fake and there's faith. See, that's why when people live in a life of faith, you can't get it past me. You know why? My eyes is brown for a reason. I've been full of it. And there's some people who think I'm still full of it. They just don't know. I'm full of the Holy Spirit now. Full of it. And guess what? You're liable to catch that before you catch anything else from me. You don't like me? That's fine. I've got to do what God said do, and I've got to live a life of faith. Huh? Now, but still believing. How did they do it? How? They saw it way off in the distance, waved their greeting to their future. Hey, future. What's up, future? Hey, future. Huh? Waved a greeting to their future and accepted the fact that they were transients in this world. Oh, you just missed all that. You just missed all that. All of it. You missed all of it. Listen here. I saw something the other day. That's my spirit. Okay. This guy got his PhD. And you know what he said? I am the manifestation of my ancestors' dreams. I am the manifestation of my ancestors' dreams. And I saw a picture where there were like all these doctors who were going through medical school and about to graduate. And they went to this little slave shack on a plantation and they took a picture out in front of it and said the same thing. We are manifestations of our ancestors' dreams. Somebody paid and prayed for you to get there. Somebody. Oh, and you ain't gonna tell me it was easy. I know. Oh, I know. I know that you got to have some understanding that you may not see it all. But if I don't live my life in faith, I don't lay the foundation. I'm laying a foundation now. Listen, Kat asked me yesterday, why you work so hard? How do you do that? Because I'm laying a foundation. I cannot, will not, and do not ever want to lay a foundation that you can't put your house on. Say about me. My house is on a firm foundation, thank God. We pray in my house. We deal with things like that. I want your house to be that way. And so, as I am the pastor of this church, I lay a foundation that does not look like sand and will not fall over when you put something on it. Now, I may lay the foundation and may not get a chance to see it, but I tell you this much. The only way that you're going to see it is if you recognize that it's way off in the distance. Huh? But what you got to do is you got to wave a greeting to your future. Huh? You got to at least be able to see it in your spirit. You got to let God put it in you, and then you got to be able to say, hey! And you got to wave like, okay, so I spent time in North Carolina, and everybody in North Carolina waves. I don't know why. I don't even know these people. But they'd be way somewhere. And I'm like, who is that? I don't know these people. So that's what I'm talking about. They may not know me either. But it's a custom to wave. See, you come from a big city, you may not talk to each other. You may not say hi. Here in Columbus, somebody might walk past you, hey, how you doing? And you be thinking to yourself, oh, you trying to get me? Ah! No, I just spoke to you. At the end of the day, you deal with greetings, and they accepted the fact that they were transients in this world. I'm leaving. I am a guest here. I'm a guest. This isn't my home. I'm a guest. I act like it. So guess what? I don't want to leave it messed up. Here's something that blows my mind. Me and my wife go to a hotel. She be cleaning up. I'll be like, sit on. That's what I made to do. I don't know. She just don't want to leave it as messy as that. She makes sure everything's in one pile or whatever. And that trips me out. It still trips me out. I ain't. Anyway, that's the difference between me and her. But I'm a guest here. So I don't want to leave this messed up like when I found it. One of these areas, one of these corners of the earth, one of these corners of this city, this state, this area, whatever it's going to be cleaned up like when I was there. Now, you want to look at some clean property, step on over there and say, oh, he must have been over here. He must have been over here. Huh? Yeah, because He's the one to set stuff like that. He set up a firm foundation. I know he did. But here's the kicker. People who live this way make it plain that they are looking for their true home. If they were homesick for the old country, they could have gone back anytime they wanted. How many of y'all know Abraham could have turned around? Huh? Especially when he seen that famine. Yeah. But they were after a far better country than that. Heaven country. You can see why God is so proud of them and has a city waiting for them. Huh? There's alternatives to just going on. You can stop right here. Ain't nobody going to cause you any problems if you stop right here. If you decide that's it, or this is all I'm going to do, or this is as far as I go, huh? Because you done put down your little stake, say that's it. I can promise you, those are alternatives to going on. Abraham could have turned around and went back. It was comfortable there. Look, he hadn't gone too far. He'd only been to a second challenge. The first one was to go. He made it out the door. The second one was famine. Well, I think that'll just about do. Pack all this up. Pull them cords out the wall. Roll all that up. I ain't got money for the mortgage. I ain't got money for the daggone food. I ain't got money for this car, these horses, these kids, all that. Wrap it up. And I could see, well, didn't God promise? Hey, man, he ain't in. God got some money for the mortgage. God, you going to feed these kids? I'm going to tell you something. Nobody on the face of God's green earth could have told you that I was going to come straight out of Lincoln Park, go through all I went through, and then become a doctor. I didn't think it. I wasn't planning on it. But God said to Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. Much less a pastor. That really, I might have thought about the PA. I darn sure wouldn't think about a pastor. All right? So let's go to Exodus 14:12, because we see Abraham could have turned around. Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone? These were the Israelite people when Moses is taking them out of Egypt, and they got mad, and guess what? Wasn't no food. It's funny how we deal with our stomachs, ain't it? Huh? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone? Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. It would have been better. I would have rather die of starvation. At least they had food. You done brought us all out here in the desert. Where you going to bury us at? Huh? And it was always on Moses. So Abraham could have turned around right there. Just like these people. They would rather serve the Egyptians. Abraham was like, well, look, I'm going to go to Egypt. Ain't no food. I'm going to Egypt. He could have said, I'm going to go there and I'm going to become a slave. But he knew wherever God was taking him, there was a promise. Even though there were problems with the promise. So he could have complained to God. How many of me? I'm gonna say me because y'all ain't gonna trust God. You ain't gonna trust God. You're not gonna tell God the truth or tell your family the truth. So while you sitting there, just keep lying to yourself. He could have complained to God. Numbers 11:1-2. One day the Israelites started complaining about their troubles. The Lord heard them and became so angry that he destroyed the outer edges of their camp with fire. Now, that's a blessing. You know why? That's a blessing. Because can I tell you something? Here's the key to this. He destroyed the outer edges. Meaning, I so want to send down fire on you. But you know what? I'm just going to tag the outer edges. I'm just to show y'all something that you're ticking me off. You're making me mad. How many of y'all had the outer edges of your camp destroyed? This is a warning. Warning! The bells are going on. It's time for you to take note of who you're talking to. Just like he did with Job. Who are you, Job? Gird yourself up like a man. Talk to me. Were you there when I put the sea in its board and told it to go no further? Were you there when I stretched the lines across the earth? Tell me. Talk to me, Job. Where were you?
All this complaining to God. When the people begged Moses to help, he prayed. Huh? And the fire went out. They named the place Burning, because in his anger, the Lord had set their camp on fire. Now, I ain't lying to you. They didn't have too much ingenuity. Yeah, that's burning over there. Yeah, that's burning. That's burning. Yeah, it ain't Gehenna. It ain't Columbus. It's burning. Nah, well, why is it burning? Let me tell you about that. Right. First of all, first thing you do, don't complain. Don't complain. You're gonna be a burning. There wasn't no too much ingenuity in that name. It's burning. That's the name of it. Right? So let's move on in here. So three, his name is listed with the faithful. Okay? So all of that, all of what Abraham had been through at this time, all of the different things that he had dealt with, we were not sitting here looking at Abraham. He could have complained to God. He could have turned around. Lord knows he had reason, but his name is now listed with the faithful. And why is that? Because he understood it's not my time yet. See, listen, it should surprise you when it happens, but it shouldn't surprise you when God tells you it's going to happen. Yeah. Because see, when you're working, you should have your head down working. Let me give you an example. So David took all of these soldiers with him and was getting ready to go to a fight. I had to look it up later, but he's getting ready to go to a fight. So he had to get them down to 300 men. Okay, Lord told him, don't take all these men with you. I'm going to deliver you with just these few. Right? I believe that's what it was. God, I'll work it out. This is the other thing I want to tell you. So he's down there, and he's on his knee. He said, any man, any warrior who is down on his knees and puts his, because they were getting ready to go drink water. It was either Gideon or David. I'm going to have to figure it out. Anyway, so they're down on their knees. He said, God said, any man who puts his whole face down in the water to drink, I want you to send him back. Send him on back. He ain't worthy. But those who kneel down, okay, and cup their hand and drink like this with the water just in their hand, those are the ones I want you to keep. Those are the ones I want you to keep. Because you know what? They ain't going to be, I got to get some water. Diving in the water so when the enemy comes, they got you too. I need you to still be alert. Stay alert. Stay alive. That's what my drill song used to say. All right. Galatians 3, 6, 9, right? 6 through 9. So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Those who rely on faith, you are already blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Huh? I'm telling you right now, if you have faith of a mustard seed, God can do so many things with you. We talked last week, age really ain't it. Huh? Because one day is like 1,000 years to God. You feel old, but what else can you do? Huh? What else can you do? Are you learning about God? I always ask this question. Are you coming to Bible study? Huh? If you ain't coming to Bible study, which I know you know about, if you ain't coming to Bible study, you ain't learning nothing, then why would you know God when he's talking to you about the future? You wouldn't know it. You would not know it to save your life because you don't know what he said in the first place. And you don't know why. You're nonchalant. You're chilling. You're concerned. You're worried.
and you won't spend five. We got 1 hour. You won't, just like the Lord asked the disciples, look, you can't stay awake 1 hour. You sleep up here. He's saying, this is my word. Get in it. Get in it. So, here's some happenings this week, and we'll get to that in a second. But I want to make sure that you know that God is God, and he is our God. And at this time, I want to come to you and let you know that God is willing to serve you. He has served you. He has. It's not just you serve me. It's God wants to help you. The question is, do you want to be free? That's the question. Do you want to be free? Do you want to be free?
Yeah. So the revelation of the song was this, that not only are you free indeed, but the Son sets free.
Yeah.
Is free indeed.
Yeah.
He whom the Son,
sets
free is set free. Free.
It's free indeed.
When I heard the Spirit of the Lord say to me, he said that from tonight forward.
Tonight.
Your
behavior,
your appetite, God,
my refrigerator, please.
So you won't just be free indeed, but you'll be free indeed.
God is good, huh?
You gotta
think about this. The stuff that God wants you to do right now is all about you. Giving up to God. If you can give up to him right now, he can make you free. He's got a future and a hope for you. He has a future and a hope for you. I know it. I know it like the back of my hand. And if God can, no, in my refrigerator. Yeah. I know what God is trying to do in you. God wants you to get some help. Yeah. I know about your struggle. I know about your struggle. What if I lose it all, huh? Yeah. No more tears. Yeah, the Spirit of the Lord is here. Huh? Yeah. Be
free indeed. Everybody, just say free indeed.
Free indeed. Yes. Thank you, John. Yeah. Thank you. Give me some libation. Now, I want to hear you with this right here. This is the call. This is your time. The question is, do you want God to be part of your life permanently? You don't deserve what he did, and neither do I. The fact that he's kept my secrets, I can call on Jesus and ask him to go to the Father on my behalf. If I need you. Cleared my name. Oh, hallelujah. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who don't like you. It doesn't matter what they say. He's cleared your name. Not guilty. Not guilty. And I thank you for that. Not guilty. It ain't that I didn't do it, it's that he cleared it up. Free indeed. If you want to give your life to Christ, today is the day. You can text me at 614-804-6200. Pastor, today's my day. I'm going to hit you up right after this and we'll just talk. Ain't no problem. I get it and I understand. I'm just like you, and I've been just like you. Yeah. Maybe you've been lost. Maybe you ain't been doing everything
supposed to be doing. And God is not trying to keep you all in all the rules and all that. What he wants is you free, free of sin, free of the process that the devil's trying to put you in. He wants to hold you down, keep you from salvation, from Jesus. But I can promise you, God is saying, I want to free you. I want to free those bonds in your mind, in your will. Yeah, so your will is free. So what you will do will be God's free will. What I feel, what I feel. Yeah, free, free. Yes, yes. I want to ask you right now, there's anyone here who says, well, I want to give my life back to Christ. I need to do something about that. Then you can do that also. You can text me at 614-804-6200 right here. And I'll be ready. I'll be ready. And you can say, this is my day. This is my time. I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired. I want my future. I want the hope. I'm tired. I haven't been able to find anything. We're going to teach you. It's what we do. It's what we're here for. We're here for four things. Four things. We're here for worship, instruction, fellowship, and evangelism. Wife, we are God's bride. We are the bride of Jesus. And so we are the wife. And so what we do is we do the things that are necessary to take care of what is important to him, which is you. You are important to him. You've been important to him. You just didn't know it. You've been looking for everybody else to give you the love you need. I know. I know. You didn't even love yourself. And you wondered how that was going to all work out. But God said, I love you regardless. It don't matter what nobody's else saying about you. Man, I've been kicked to the curb so many times. It ain't even fun. I think my last name is Curb. The way they done kicked me to the curb. Pastor Dr. Cornell Curb. That's when I start calling myself Curb. Because I'm telling you, they're going to kick you to the curb as soon as you can't give them what they want. You think that just happens to people, with people who don't like you? How about in your relationships? When you feel all alone, that person's right there. And you feel like, man, they hurt my feelings this morning. Talk to God. He didn't hurt your feelings. He didn't hurt your feelings. And the bottom line is God is still looking for you. You can text me at 614-804-6200. I don't care. People are like, well, you shouldn't give out your home number. I don't know what else I'm going to do. You know, I might answer it. The idea is this. If you think that I'm still on the other side of where I used to be, you know, when I used to be there, when I used to be that cat, you're going to have to think again. I figured it out. I'm a transient citizen. I'm not here. This is not my home. Whatever it is don't belong to me. It belongs to God, and he's given it to me to take care of and be a good steward. There's so many good things that are happening right here at Expanding Business Ministries, but not just there, but I'm telling you, we love you. I love you. I love you. I don't know if I like everybody, but I do love everybody. I ain't got no choice on that. I love everybody just because I do. God gave me that. And so today is your day. 614-804-6200. If you feel the need today, if you feel the need to give your life to Christ, to come back to Christ, you need a church home. This is it, I promise you. This is how I dress every week. All right? Ain't gonna be no getting up and walking. I ain't gonna embarrass you or nothing. I just want to love on you and let God love on you. I want to introduce you to the guy that I kick it with. That's my dude. And he gonna let you know, it's all straight. No matter if you come straight out of Canada or straight out of Lincoln Park. LP for life, but I'm gonna let you know something. You can give it over to God right now. He is waiting on you. He's waiting on you. He said, come on. Come on, I'm waiting on you. Give it on up to him. Amen, amen. All right, bless you. It's been a good day. I wanna go ahead and get into a couple things real quick, because I want you to know what's going on. All right, here we have, we've done a few things here at the church this week.
okay? And I want to give it up to her for a few people. There have been happenings this week, all right? We got our podcast. It is active on the app, okay? So now we doing podcast. We doing podcast. Hey, huh? We doing podcast, whatever the kids do. Whatever they do, I'm having, I don't know. Anyway, we got podcasts, and they're active on the app, all right? We partnered with New Salem for Food Pantry and Wellness Wednesdays. You can go to the link and check in, okay? I sent the link out, all right? If you didn't get it, 614-804-6200. Now, I got to check the app out. The app is dope. The app is dope. I'm letting you know that right now, all right? I'm looking at the app, and I'm thinking to myself, man, I had a vision, but I didn't think it was going to be this big. And I want to give him a shout-out to my man from Brooklyn, Dwayne Lane. He's done it. I thank God, because no matter what time I call him, he's always there, and I appreciate him for that. He's done a great job at getting stuff together on that app, and I can't even begin to tell you how great and powerful things are for us with that. Our process here is to reach out into the world and ask who wants to give their life to Christ. That is what we're here for. And we're using what God has given us to make sure that we reach out. We go on as far as the airwaves and our feet will take us. We're going to be the first century church right now here, where we took care of each other. Huh? We're done doing things the same way after 1,700 years. Now, we're doing things like canoeing the mountains. We're doing stuff like that. How do you do that, Pastor? Well, holler at me. Let me know. We can do that, right? So go to our app and check it out, okay? Our app is in the Google Store, Expanding Business Ministries, or EBM, and it's also in the iPhone Store at EBM. You go check that out. Pastor got a blog on there. If you need help with something, do not hesitate to get on that app, fill out one of those forms, and we will get to you. It says right there, do you need help? I'm going to start communicating with everybody through the app. We've got 33 coming back up, Authentic Manhood. We're getting ready to do that again. Right, start back up where we came from. I really enjoyed it. I'm loving it. And the men are like, yeah, let's do it. Okay. Thank God for Women's Bible Study. Shannon Flamer, shout out to you. 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday nights on Zoom or Skype, whatever. It's on one of them. But if you need the information, all you got to do is ask. All right? We're going to get it to you. We want to make sure that you know that the church here is, we are transitioning into the church of outside. We've been the church of outside, but now I want you to know, God is taking care of all this, and he is making it clear on what he wants to do with us. So if you want a new start, fresh start, whatever you want, when it comes down to that, holler at us. We're ready. We got some new stuff going on. We got some great stuff going on, and we definitely could use your expertise. If there's anybody out there who does marketing or wants to do marketing, 614-804-6200, text Pastor. I'm in need of you. Now, I don't have everybody's spiritual gift survey. On the app, you can go take the spiritual gift survey, and I will get a copy of that and be able to look and see what you think you're good at or what you do, and then we can go from there. If you're good at marketing, if you are good at IT, holler at your boy so I don't keep messing stuff up, all right? Want to give a shout-out to our IT team, the cameraman, John, okay? John, appreciate you. Appreciate you for the libations, all right? Things of that nature, right? I want to thank you for hanging in there with us. We're going to keep doing it like we do it. We're going to keep moving, all right? Everything is going to be all right in the name of Jesus. I don't have a doubt about that. But we're moving, and it's time to move. It's time to move in God. We're on our way somewhere. I can feel it, and I know it. That's why I'm not afraid to tell anybody. It's time. We're not simply trying to hold it together. It's together. The bus has momentum. We just need the right people in the right seats. But the bus already has momentum. All right? If you're dealing with mental health issues, please, we can help you with that. All right? We got the Wellness Wednesday that's on New Salem. We're partnering up with them on that. If you feel like you want to help in the community, let's get out there and go to that food pantry. Go on over there. They got masks. They got gloves. Get it all. And you can make sure that you're safe while you're helping people. I love that. I appreciate Adam Troy and Dr. Keith Troy for putting that whole thing together and giving us that information. That's my pastor, so I thank God for that. And I want to make sure that I give a shout-out, last name, to my man, Lil Judah. Lil Judah, it's your birthday this week. Lil Judah, it's your birthday this week. I thought I'd throw that out there to you, young fella. So can't nobody do it like me. Ha! Anyway. Love, peace, and hair grease. We expect for you to give if you can. All right, you can give online on our app. You can give online at our website. Right, we do this so that we can help others. All right, it's strictly about ministry. You can give in those two places. Anybody need anything else? Holla. Other than that, love and peace. Have a good week. Yeah.
Praise God. Praise God. He is worthy.